Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Danish Power Limited's earnings call for H2 and FY 2026. We are delighted to have with us the senior leadership team to discuss the company's performance and key business highlights for the period. From the management, we have with us Mr. Shivam Talwar, Managing Director, and Mr. Anand Chaturvedi, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the call, I would like to mention that certain statements made during the call may be forward-looking in nature and could involve risk and uncertainties, including those related to the future financials and operating performance of the company. Further, in the event of any issues or call drops during the course of the conference call, we request your patience while we ensure the call is reconnected at the earliest. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Shivam Talwar, Managing Director, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope I am audible.
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is our second-ever earnings call, being our second year post our listing. Before I walk you through our H2 and FY 2026 performance, let me just share a perspective on the broader industry and the key trends shaping the sector. Over the last few months, as you all are aware well, the global operating environment has remained volatile. Rising geopolitical tensions, supply chain issues, logistic disruptions, and fluctuations in key commodity prices, particularly transformer oil, aluminum, and copper, along with the exchange rate of dollar to rupee, has created uncertainty across the global transformer as well as the electrical equipment industry. Although despite these external disruptions, India's long-term electrical infrastructure story remains exceptionally strong. Grid modernization, renewable energy build-out, the rapid expansion of data centers driven by artificial intelligence adoption, and a broader rise in the per capita electricity consumption are structural demand drivers that we believe will sustain the transformer demand for at least the next 5 to 7 years, if not more. While the external environment may create near-term volatility, the underlying demand environment for our industry remains extremely healthy, and we are well-positioned to capture the demand with the right quality of orders, at the right margins, with the right delivery commitments. Since our previous earnings calls, we have undergone a meaningful transformation phase of operational and strategic transformation. I'm pleased to share that both phases of our capacity expansion, which were planned post our IPO, are now fully commissioned and operational in line with the timelines committed during our previous interaction. With this, our transformer manufacturing capacity has increased to approximately 11,000 MVA on an annual basis. The new facility has been built with a strong focus on manufacturing excellence and long-term scalability, including temperature-controlled shop floors, advanced testing infrastructure, and an ESG-compliant manufacturing process. The expansion is a significant upgrade in the quality, processes, capability, and the technological readinesses, positioning Danish Power strongly for the next phase of the growth. With the new facility, our power transformer division is also now activated. We have upgraded our capabilities to manufacture transformers up to 100 MVA in rating and 245 kV voltage class. Prototype development and type testing processes have already commenced, and we expect formal customer qualifications progresses to happen throughout this financial year. The segment has naturally high entry barriers, including extensive testing requirements, audits, performance validation. We are well into that journey, and we believe this segment will become a meaningful contributor for our revenue in financial year 28 onwards. Our backward integration as well, initiated through our subsidiary, is progressing well. The sheet metal fabrication facility with a capital outlay of approximately 20 plus crores is expected to be commissioned in the next 3 to 4 months. This will help us internalize a key manufacturing component that has usually been a bottleneck for both lead time and quality consistency perspectives. The objective here is operational control and execution reliability, and not only margin enhancement, which may happen over a period of time, but not immediately. Additionally, around 6 months ago, we also proactively acquired a land close to our existing facilities in the same industrial zone. The idea was to be prepared for our next phase of expansion. We are not committing to a specific timeline for the next phase of expansion yet, as we are evaluating carefully what and how it should be done. But looking at the timeline, we wanted to make sure our secured land means we are ready to move quickly when the time is right. Another important milestone has been strengthening our workforce. With the growing company, we now have more than 550 people on our direct role, reflecting a conscious shift towards a more stable and a skilled employee base. While renewables continue to remain a strong focus area for us, we are also consciously exploring multiple growth opportunities in related sectors as well. So in terms of higher capacity and higher voltage transformers, as I mentioned, the new facility is fully ready, operational, and the prototypes and type testing is in process. We have already also started supplying transformers for battery energy storage applications, which is one of the most upcoming, most high demand growth segment we are seeing both within India and internationally as well. Next, in terms of the dry type transformers, which has usually been our volume generator or revenue generator product line, the demand is rising across data centers, and we are currently building capacities and certification pathways to increase this segment as well. Further, exports have been part of Danish Power's journey since a long time. Although post-COVID, our domestic sales picked up at a very fast pace, and hence exports weren't really contributing much. However, this year we've been having almost 8-9% of export revenue, which is a significant jump since the last financial year. Plus, our focus remains on profitable export growth rather than a volume-led expansion. Next, our panel and automation division as well, which is currently contributing about 7-9% of our revenue. The continuous growth in the substation automation requirements and grid modernization initiatives are creating incremental opportunities in this segment as well. Coming to our order pipeline, the demand momentum continues to remain healthy across segments. As of today, our confirmed order book stands at over 500 crores compared to about 450 crores at the time of our last call. The deliveries for these orders are spread in the next 6 to 9 months. Importantly, the order mix is becoming more diversified, with contributions now emerging from battery storage, export products, as well as the power transfer opportunities coming along with our key revenue driver of inverted duty transformers. At the same time, we continue to remain disciplined in our order selection approach, which has always been a key focus area for us. A strong focus remains on execution, customer quality, and sustaining the profitability of the company. Some additional key developments as well in the year. The CRISIL ratings upgraded us to A- from BBB. That was a valuable step forward. Our IPO proceeds utilization is 100% completed now as on 31st March 2026. Plus, as a company, we have voluntarily adopted Ind AS financial reporting. This was a step to ensure more efficient, more systematic financial reporting going forward. Further, almost 90% of our revenues come from the private sector, which provides stronger payment discipline, relatively better margins and faster execution cycles, thereby supporting both our profitability and the working capital efficiency. Now, let me take you through the key financial highlights for H2 and FY26. As a reminder, as you are all well aware, our business remains structurally H2 heavy, as it has been seen in the previous year. For FY26, the company delivered a consolidated revenue of ₹521 crores with a growth of approximately 22% on a year-on-year basis, supported by healthy execution across our core business segments and contribution from the expanded manufacturing capacity as well, while the phase two expansion benefits will be more visible in this financial year and beyond. Despite the commissioning and the ramp-up costs associated with the new facility, we've been still able to maintain a healthy EBITDA margins of approximately 19%, reflecting strong operational discipline and a prudent order selection. Margin preservation, as I've always mentioned, remains a key strategic priority for the company. In terms of PAT, profit after tax, the company achieved approximately 69 crores of PAT with a growth of 26% on a year-on-year basis. Overall, we at Danish Power remain well positioned to capitalize on the strong industry opportunity while continuing to maintain a disciplined approach towards growth, margins, and capital efficiency. Our guidance for the ongoing financial year, FY27, based on our current order visibility, the capacity ramp-up, and the market outlook, we expect FY27 revenue to be more than 700 crores plus. We remain committed to sustaining our EBITDA margins, which remains a key focus, both EBITDA and PAT as well, in the range, EBITDA in the range of 19%, as we've been achieving last couple of years. As we scale the power transformer business and the exports, there could be some impact temporarily coming in. However, on a long-term objective, our margin improvement will remain our key focus areas. With that, I will now hand over back to the moderator to open the session for your question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants, you are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will take the first question from the line of CA Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Venture Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Very good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Good afternoon.
Yeah. I just want to understand about our current capacity utilization. We have expanded our capacity 11,000 MVA. So what kind of peak revenue potential can we get from out of this and what is current utilization level? And sir, as you given that our export expanded this year, so which geographies are we targeting and what kind of mix going forward are we targeting? And the last question on our type testing, we are expanding our capacity in higher KV class. So what kind of timelines is there to get the orders after the test is done? Earlier call you were saying that it would take around 7 to 8 months to do the type testing and then another 1 year would take to get the order. So what is the timeline to get the order?
Right. Thank you for your questions, Mr. Kaushal. First thing you mentioned was the peak level or the utilization that we are doing. So the financial year that just ended, I think since our capacity got expanded in a two-phased manner and whenever a capacity goes live, getting the revenue out of that capacity is at least a 3 to 4 month period, if not more. So the overall capacity calculation for last year is little mixed. However, still we feel we were considering our phase one expansion getting live in the middle of the year. I think we were at roughly 80% utilization, but we can't consider complete 11,000 in the previous year because the second phase came in live only after January and therefore that revenue output will only come in this financial year. In terms of your question was on export geography, so we are targeting or we are already working in three or four continents where we continue to grow: Middle East, Europe, Africa and Australasia. These are the four continents where we have a good hold and things will continue to prosper from these areas. And your last bit was the type testing. So yes, 7, 8, 9 months, it can definitely take once we start manufacturing and then the process to get the testing done. Therefore, after validation, supplying on a trial basis for some time. So the revenue, real revenue from the higher voltage power transformers would come in the next financial year, FY28 only. And that's our expectations on that.
And so margin in S2 has also fallen just because of the raw material. So will this margin, like you said, 19% is in this kind of environment, is it sustainable going forward?
See, that's been always our focus area. We do feel that this is something which we can sustain over a period of time. Obviously, incidents like the West Asia war and all that, they do impact your planning and your further views. However, still, I think we are quite confident with the kind of inquiry inflow, the kind of orders that we've been able to final even in last, say, 1-2 months as well while the war has been on. So we still feel that we should be able to maintain this. That will remain a key focus while we take any order going forward as well.
And do you feel that there is any kind of challenges in competitive and intensity in this IDT transformer? Many of the companies are going on manufacturing. So is there any chance for decreasing the margin due to competition intensity, or do you think that the demand is there?
See, competition will always come in wherever other manufacturers feel there is some potential. Everyone would want to take a pie of that. So that's something we cannot control. How we control our is that the customer quality, the level of quality product that we can offer to our clients, and therefore our client can provide the right value, will remain our focus and has been our focus. Fortunately, our clients are very mature. If price is not the only factor they go for, and our reliability in the market is proven enough. So I think as a company, be it IDT or any other product line, we'll make sure that we can maintain these margins. That will remain the key focus area. And therefore, as I've already mentioned, it's not just IDT. There are other products as well we do, and some are on the increase as well. So thank you.
And what is our... Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Hazel Rathod from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hi, sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers.
Thank you very much.
Primarily, my question arises from the fact that, you know, given the current global scenario, how do we look at, you know, expansion in terms of capacity utilization? You know, given the facilities and the capacity that we've installed, both the phases, and going ahead in terms of margins, what kind of impact we might, you know, expect from, again, the raw material prices and the orders that we've already intake?
Sorry, the first question you are asking, capacity utilization, you mean
how
the orders intake?
Happening? Yeah, in terms of ramping up, how do we see that happening? Can we expect, you know, us to reach an optimal utilization in H1 itself or somewhere around H2?
See, optimum utilization is a very typical word. I mean, there is no optimum figure, to be honest. And typically how, as we've already mentioned, H1 is usually much lighter than H2. So definitely H1, we will not be able to reach that. Plus, we have this still the war impact is ongoing, where some of the other things obviously slow down. So the good utilization would probably definitely come in H2, and therefore the financial year after that as well, where we feel that we will have more than a peak utilization is where our targets are. In terms of margins, definitely see the war is impacting. Q1 for this year will somewhere be impacted. Although as a company, we do try to make sure all our interests are covered whenever we secure an order. We don't like to leave many things open, but in this difficult situation, a lot of backing out from the suppliers also does happen. And then some materials like transformer oil in particular has to be purchased only after a certain time. It can't be purchased 6 months or 4 months in advance. So that will definitely impact. We are in active discussions with the clients of the existing orders to see how we can mitigate and find a midway solution that even we are impacted to a limited point, and the client can also take some immediate hit on that.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Naman Parmar from Nivesha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Congratulations on great set of numbers.
Thank you, Naman.
Firstly, I wanted to understand on the industry perspective specific to the BESS. So currently, how is the whole setup is getting played out? Like, we have already various solar grids and all getting connected, and lots of IDT have already been installed, right? But with the BESS coming in, you will require additional demand for the IDT, or the older one IDT can handle that load? And any new type of transformer specific for the BESS is required, and how we are preparing particularly for the BESS market?
So we've been preparing quite from last, I think, on more than 12 to 18 months, we've been in that process, and we've already secured and executed orders for BESS applications. So the BESS application is slightly different than a typical IDT where it is installed only for a solar plant. And in terms of the requirements, will definitely increase with BESS coming in, especially if it is a new project. There is a combined way of applying both solar and BESS at the same time and the transformer requirement. But if it is an existing project where BESS is being implemented, there is an additional requirement of transformers also coming in. And the application or the way a BESS transformer is utilized on that site is also slightly different from how an IDT loadability is maintained. So we are well prepared, already executing, and based on what we have done so far and how we see the inquiry coming in for BESS, we see there is a substantial potential in this segment.
Okay, understood. So currently in our current order book, how much would be the BESS projects contributing?
I think it should be about 20-25% roughly.
Okay, 20-25%. And in the current order book only, how much orders are having a price variation clause and how much are fixed base?
See, out of this 500 plus crores what I mentioned, some orders are of last 4 to 6 weeks, which are all on firm. But if you are talking the total mix, I think again around 30% of the orders should be on price variation.
Okay, 20% is with the price variation.
30%.
Oh, 30%. Okay, understood. And also similarly, like we have tab a very good for the BESS market. So similarly on the data center, like any dry type transformer that we are tapping very bigly for the data center type of.
And yes, opening remarks, I informed about that decision. We've been manufacturing dry-type transformers for the last 14 years. However, it's been a very small revenue for us, primarily because even we were full with our capacity. So now with our some expansion coming in, we have some space allocation for that segment as well. And with the data center demand coming in, so we are actively working in that direction as to how we can capture some part of that market.
Okay, yeah, understood. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of results.
Thank you,
considering Jiten. The situation currently. My first question is basically in one of the slides you talked about backward integration. Can you throw some more light on it? I mean, across the companies, we are seeing that, you know, there is issue of, different input materials. So how are we trying to mitigate that? And what is this backward integration? What will it entail?
So this backward integration, one of our biggest bottlenecks is the sheet metal fabrication equipment, such as the outer bodies and the cooling equipment that are required in the transformers. We feel in terms of lead time, usually we our supply chain falters on that, and hence we falter on our client commitments, which is the worst thing that probably we feel we can do. So we like to honor our commitments to our customers, and this is one of the items that is the longest lead time, as well as quality issues as well are an issue. So we are wanting to make sure we can do this within our premises, within our setup itself, to make sure we can control the lead times, we can prioritize our needs as and when based on specific projects, and plus quality remains a priority on that side, that we can maintain the same level of quality that the rest of our transformer has.
Okay, so we did around 5,500 MVA in FY26, right? FY27 and FY28, what is it that we can do, or what is our projection for the next 2 years?
So FY27, we are expecting at least 7,000 to 8,000 MVA. That's where we are targeting, that we should be able to comfortably achieve this. And FY28, somewhere more than 10,000 MVA would be our expectation that we should be able to do.
Okay. And I can understand, you know, that the margin, I think in FY25 was 21%. And it went down to 19% last year, maybe because of expansion. Now with the expansion in place, why we can't move back to our older margins, or do you see challenges in that?
See, in terms of, I think even in FY25, if I remember, I think it's the H2 margin was probably what you were talking about as as the 21 or the entire year as well. But if you really see on a overall basis, with our power transformer segment also coming in, when we take a new entry in a particular segment, there might be some cases, some strategy calls we'll need to take. So I feel somewhere between 19% and 20% is something that is sustainable, that we can continue to do in spite of this new product lines as well, which come in. But the objective will definitely remain. If we can go back to 20 plus 21, that will definitely remain. But you know where we are in the current phase of the world. There is too much uncertainty, and it's better that we plan in the best possible way to see if we can continue to maintain what we are doing. If anything additional over it, it's a bonus for everyone.
Perfectly, perfect. I mean, in these times, one needs to be conservative in their approach also. So my final question is, basically, we have moved to like at run rate of 8% in exports. Now, I'm sure exports must be giving us higher margin. What are we trying to do so that, you know, the export percentage can go up meaningfully over the next 2 years, like FY28, what would be the target? And first, so in that, I would want you to answer, what is the differential you get when you do exports higher margin wise?
So differential varies from project to project, country to country. Somewhere probably it is up to 3 or 4% extra. Somewhere it's about 1 to 2% extra. Some cases it also goes up to 5. So to be honest, it varies. And it's difficult to phase out an average figure as well, because you will not always get a 4 or 5% extra on any particular project. It might be some special cases. So that is where it varies. What we have done to increase our exports is definitely our capacity. We were lacking. We were always getting inquiries, but we were full with what we had in orders with us already. So we couldn't really take much of export orders and could not commit, because the clients we are associated with are regular clients, and that's how we like to do our business, where we don't prefer one-time order and then it's the end of the story. So if we have to commit to a new client in export, we have to make sure that we have capacities available for them, which now we have, and we have already signed some long-term framework agreements with our clients in the international segment as well. So this year we are hopeful that at least we should be touching 15 to 20%, somewhere in between that is our faith in this.
Perfect. And I wish you all the best for that. Thank you.
We will take the next question from the line of Paras Jeda from Purple One Vortex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations for the strong set of results, sir.
Thank you. Sir,
I just wanted to understand, now we have this 11,000, you know, MVA capacity, and I just heard you're planning to achieve probably 10,000 MVA in FY28. So that presumably is from the same existing capacity is what we are intending to take the capacity utilization higher.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So, I mean, in general, sir, I mean, it's difficult to put a number, but what kind of ballpark approx peak revenue range does this indicate? It's greater than 10,000 MVA. Where could it lead us to? I mean, ballpark range, I mean. You can understand there is no pinpoint number.
Somewhere between 900 to 1,000 crores.
Okay, so that's sort of the peak revenue for this existing current capacity.
Current capacity, see, once a new facility is ready, then it runs for, say, 6 months to 1 year, and then see, transformers is a very complicated process in terms of manufacturing. It's not that we have one machine and it will give an output and we can calculate the capacity. There are multiple processes that are coming in. So after 6 months, 12 months of running in, we find out, okay, there is a certain bottleneck where we can do some debottling and probably increase the capacity a bit more. So the next 12 months, that's the evaluation that happens. Even like in our existing facility also, we were able to do some debottling and increase some. So that process keeps on going on a regular basis.
Right.
Therefore, it could go definitely with the existing capacity, it could go higher as well. It's not that this is the last point, but this is comfortable. But if we're able to debottle maybe next 12 months or something, it could go higher as well.
Yeah, so comfortable to at the moment guide, let's say, for 1,000 crore kind of a revenue, and then maybe there could be something more if you are able to extract more out of this.
Right.
In terms of debottlenecking, right? Okay, sir. And I mean, we've bought this land also, I heard that. So is there a sort of a, you know, and the industry tailwind seems to be okay in terms of demand. Is there a timeline by which we sort of take, you know, a decision in terms of next level of expansion and if, yeah.
Hopefully in next 3 months.
In next 3 months. And if we do decide, and it may be premature to ask that, but what, like, I mean, 30, 40, 50% capacity utilization or?
Capacity
I mean,
expansion, you're meaning to ask?
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yes, sir.
If we do the same setup with the land that we have available, we should be able to further at least increase by 80% or maybe double up as well.
Okay. If we do decide in the next 3 months time span, potentially 80% or 100% of the current capacity, we can sort of look to expand given the land that is available.
Yes, the land has that potential to do that level of expansion. The
But
size
this could be a phased one again, like what we did last time.
Yes, definitely.
Would it be that way?
It could be phased because we want to make sure we start getting out something as soon as possible and not wait for the entire plan. So it could be in two phases,
Right.
but based on our experience in last couple of years, we would still want to continue work and plan both phases together only. A lot of things
Right.
get easier. Otherwise, if you do it in part, sometimes you do end up losing some valuable time and space of the available land.
Correct. Right. And in case, I mean, we do decide at the end of 3 months, typically, how much time does it take? Because I think last time around it took a little bit of, you know, more time than we had probably anticipated, I guess.
Yes.
So just to take a cue from that, I mean, how much time do you now anticipate?
We should be slightly better prepared this time, having recently gone through that phase. But still, the timeline would be anywhere between 12 to 18 months for it
Okay.
to start coming live.
Getting output of this. So basically, by the time this capacity utilization comes to near about the peak, this other, you know, expansion will be more or less ready to be utilized.
That is the idea behind the next 3 months decision making.
Understood, sir. And now I also heard, sir, in terms of our, you know, export share, we are targeting to reach 15-20% of our revenues this year. We've entered into higher value-added, you know, transformer segment, etc. Does that mean, and although there are cost pressures, but I mean, in general, does that mean that we'll be able to bare minimum probably maintain the margins and, if anything, structurally probably move a little bit higher 1 or 2 years down the line?
See, bare minimum will remain the focus. We would not compromise. Okay, we leave apart one or two orders which could be strategic calls, but on a regular basis, we would not compromise any particular type of. We would not compromise the margin to get into any particular type of transformers. If पावर ट्रांसफार्मर का ऑर्डर लेना है तो उसका सेगमेंट बढ़ाना है तो उसको कॉम्प्रोमाइज कर लें. या इज जस्ट एन एग्जाम्पल. सो वी
हाँ
वुड नॉट वॉन्ट टू डू दैट. दिस इज द
राइट
फिगर वी वुड वॉन्ट टू मेंटेन. बट यस, एज अ कंपनी, इफ यू कैन गेट हायर, it's always a bonus, as I said.
yeah I mean I was just asking from the perspective that now that we are getting into a higher you know category of you know transformer does that offer a little bit better margin than what we do currently now
See, one thing I've always mentioned, the product type or the type of transformer does not determine the margin. The margin is
okay
determined by the type of customer. The type of value you are offering to the customer, the product that you are making for the customer. See, a distribution transformer also in certain markets will give an extremely low margin, and in certain markets will give you a very good margin. So it is not the product that distribution has lower margin or power has higher. I think that myth has to go away, I believe. It's
Acha.
how you position yourselves, what's your product, that's what matters.
Understood. So this probably has nothing to do with that way the product thing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the higher voltages will have some more level of complexities, and hence it is a slightly less populated market, less populated competitive landscape out there. That complexities are definitely there. But even in a distribution transformer, I'm just coming down to the lowest level as a comparison. There are certain markets where the clients are extremely critical of what they want to buy, what kind of product, and can have a good level of specialties requiring in the transformer as well. So that's overall, it is what the client needs, what level of sophistication it requires, and how you can make the right product to get a good value for that.
Understood. And so just final question from my end. I mean, of course, your capacity expansion plans do indicate some sort of a demand, you know, scenario out there. But I mean, broadly, with the asterisk mark of this, you know, geopolitical scenario, other than that, how do you see the demand scenario? Is it fairly strong enough for the next, probably, let's say, 3 to 5 years or at least up to 3 years?
Promising. As I said, that is why the next expansion is on the card. We will definitely in next 3 months take a decision and take it forward. But overall, the demand, the inquiry inflow is equally good, even in spite of the war. We've not seen that the demand is pushed down or the inquiries have reduced. Everything is going at par.
Good to hear that, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Yogansh Jeshwani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Wanted to ask, comparing your numbers with the peers, what we see that interestingly we have been able to safeguard our margins while other players have got a hit on the margins. So if you could just broadly share with us how we've been able to safeguard our margins.
See, I mean, what others are doing is very difficult for me to comment on. What we are doing is purely making sure, right from the beginning, we keep on saying the quality of order matters. Getting an order in today's time is not very difficult, but getting a good quality order will remain always a bit of a challenge. And we keep on making sure that the order quality is good. And by a good quality order means the right client who has the right capabilities to lift the transformer, to support you in difficult times, to make sure he's paying on time. So all of that matters. The execution capabilities come into play. Our planning of making sure that how we can make sure whatever commodity fluctuation is there, we can make sure we can cover them up the basis as much as possible. 100% is never possible. But whatever is in our hand, whatever we need to take, even though in certain cases, some of the other things in our books might get disturbed, like the inventory level might be too high sometimes, something. But we have to take certain calls at times to make sure how we can protect our margins, because we feel that when as an industry, all industries are cyclical, there could be a low time as well going forward, and we want to make sure our margins remain healthy enough in these present good times that can keep us afloat very nicely even when the times are not good. So the focus is out there, and just wanting to make sure we do our work honestly and making sure our clients are satisfied with us. I think that's all we are doing. I'm sure other companies would also be doing the same thing. It's nothing, no rocket science that we are doing anything differently.
Right. Fair enough, sir. So, sir, do you think this commodity prices that have gone up will show some impact on the pricing and the margins going forward? Or you feel that with the kind of orders, the kind of discussions you're having with your clients, you'll be able to maintain the spread or the margin that you're seeing now?
See, with the new orders that we have finalized post this rise, I think we are more or less there, plus minus here and there, not much. Obviously, the orders that were already taken before this impact came in, and those, some of them, as I said, are firm priced orders, they are having some impact because, as I mentioned, not all commodities or material can be secured at the time of securing our transfer order. So we are in active discussions with our clients to see how they can support us. Contractually, if we talk, we are bounded. We have signed an order on a firm price, and ideally we have to execute it at the price we have agreed on. But we are trying to see what can be done, and that's where I said the client maturity, the quality of clients come into play, who are mature enough, do understand the situation. If they might not support in this order, they might support me in the next order. But something or the other would happen. And this Q1 orders would be a bit under more pressure, but we are finding our ways to see how we can see where we can cut down our costs, where we can see that this impact is as minimum as possible. But only next 2-3 months will tell how soon this war can end or it doesn't end. Let's see. We'll need to know in next 2-3 months.
Right. So if I understand right, I think what you're trying to say is that maybe a few older orders which will now hit the P&L might see some margin pressure, so maybe next quarter could be a little lower, but then as the new orders kick in, the margins will, you know, will be.
Yes, new orders are already on the line. The older one can definitely give an impact.
Broadly, do you have in mind how much kind of impact can it have? Will it be 1-2% kind of impact, or it could be even more?
It's difficult to answer now, because right now we are waiting and to see how and when this war will end, and by when the pricing impact would gradually come down. It will not happen that today war ends and tomorrow the pricing will be back to normal. And it may be possible then that not all raw material also get back to normal. But certain prices where we have seen an abnormal rise in, like in transformer oil, there is a 100% plus rise. And hopefully with the war ending in next two or three months, we might see some, it might go back to levels where it was, or maybe 10 or 15% rise, not the 100%. So we have also slowed down in this month, April and May. Even our clients have, we've come to a conclusion with some of our clients, okay, if they have time, let us wait for things to normalize. So giving a number right now would be very difficult. Maybe the next call we should be having some answers on that.
Right. And just one last question, if I can squeeze in, and pardon me if this was asked before I got dropped in between. So any guidance that you can share on the volume growth for FY27?
So FY27 volume wise, we mentioned somewhere between 7,000 to 8,000 MVA we should be able to achieve.
Okay.
Got it, sir.
Thank you.
That's it from my side. I will get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Mandira from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. If you could help me with what proportion of FY27 revenue visibility is supported by your current executable out order book?
By our current executable order book, you mean 500 crores of orders that we have? Out of that, you are asking?
Yeah, yeah.
So that 500 crore plus, most of it, I think almost 90% of it is supposed to be executed in the next 6 to 9 months. So out of that, 90% will definitely be executed in this financial year. There could be 10% contracts where anyhow we keep that buffer always, because some projects sometimes gets delayed for some of the other reason. Some one of them which we recently secured is a longer period contract, but 90% would be executed in this financial year.
Got it, sir. And secondly, how do you plan to mitigate your potential order losses from your Wari, which is the recent competitor acquisition? So are you witnessing any demand softness in the 132 kV segment?
Sorry, I guess there are two questions you are asking. Wari question you are asking, and then 132 kV.
Are you witnessing any demand softness in the 132 kV segment?
No, so 132 and 220 is new for us, and ever since we have announced that we are ready, our capacities are live, there is a huge inflow of inquiries. I really can't compare this to a previous time, because that time we were not really ready with this kind of facility for higher voltages, but we are getting a very good inquiry volume, and hopefully some good closures will also happen.
Got it, sir. And how do you plan to mitigate the potential order losses from Wari?
No, so it's been a while. We were always prepared, although most of our orders come from our repeat clients. That's how we like to do our business. But already we have added 2 or 3 new clients and have already secured big orders from them as well and executed as well. So we are not facing any challenge whatsoever with regard to any inquiry loss or order loss because of the Wari entry into transformers.
Got it. That was really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mariaji. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Dheeraj Kumar Reddy from Alpha Squared. Please go ahead.
Shiloma, am I audible?
Yes, Dheeraji, you are audible.
Yeah, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand what is a beyond this IDT, I'm new to this company, so I just wanted to understand what are the new areas companies working on, and what are they, how I mean, what is the kind of product cycle we are at? Did we test out those products, and how is the traction in the market today?
So beyond IDTs, I would say unfortunately or fortunately, whatever we want to call it, IDT has become synonym with our name, but that's not the only thing we've been doing. It's just a matter of our early start in IDT, that we started IDTs back in 2011 when nobody was doing IDTs. And because of our long history, we've been having a good performance on the field. We have a large quantity of transformers installed on the field, and hence we have a large inquiry base, and automatically the renewable energy boom that happened in last 5, 7, 8 years has increased our volume from this particular product segment. But we've been always doing other type of transformers as well. So distribution, dry types, small power transformers, all of them were already there. And then some special application transformers as well. Those all are all on the pipeline, still continuing to grow at some of the other pace. Plus the power transformer segment has come in live, as we have already mentioned. That will give some big, good revenue in FY28 is what we believe. And our other panel and automation division is also growing at a decent pace. So we have a few options with us, which are a priority to us, including the IDT. And we'll continue to focus on all of these.
Got it. Sir, for BESS, what is the transformer application which we have today?
What is the transformer application? See, transformer application is same in every situation. Transformer needs to change the voltage, either step it up or step it down. I mean, 9 out of 10 cases, a transformer where it is utilized, whatever you may call it, an IDT or a BESS or a power or a distribution, will do the role of a stepping up or a stepping down of the power. Now, an IDT or a BESS will have different processes, what kind of input is coming in, what voltages are we talking about, what are the special features. So that varies. But transformer work will remain same. Transformer will only step up or step down the voltage.
Understood. But sir, like what we have seen during 2011 when we actually, entered into the solar and renewable space, do you see the same thing will also happen with BESS? How do we see this space growing in the next like 4 or 5 years? Do you think like we need to build out some talent here to really grow like how we have done it in the renewable space before?
Yes, and we do see a lot of potential in this. It's more logical, not just what is coming in. We have all seen how the renewable energy production generation is coming at a very good pace in the country. But the whole issue is that you don't need power just in the day, you need power at night as well. And that's where the storage comes into play. Solar will only produce during the day. And so logically, it seems that we have to go either way, either a pump storage or a battery energy storage, but storage has to come in. And therefore, it seems there is a lot of potential going forward. Fortunately, the type of transformer has some similarity to what an IDT is, and we are able to making sure that we are well prepared for this and are already supplying in this segment. So overall, we feel it could be the next game changer like it had been in case of IDT. There is a strong possibility.
Understood, sir. And if I may ask one more question, like what is the vision of the company? Like how do you see yourself in the next like 5, 7 years or even beyond? Like what is the aspiration in terms of new product development or in terms of capability building, etc.? How do you see Danish Power going forward?
See, being honest, 5 to 7 years, with the way how dynamics are in the world nowadays, I think it's always better to take slightly smaller steps. So next 2 years, where we've done our product expansion in terms of EHV as well as the capacity expansion. Further to that, we do look actively, as we are, we already mentioned in some earlier question, someone answered that, what is the next level of expansion we are planning? What kind of transformers will it be? Or we could also explore some related equipment as well on that line. So as a company, the main vision is to making sure that we want to stay in the manufacturing space, but we want to diversify our product expertise. But at the same time, we want to make sure that whatever product we do, we want to be known as amongst the most reliable and good manufacturers. So We've tried to keep our name in that segment for the kind of transformers we currently do, and that focus will remain forever for the company.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next follow-up question from the line of Yuganj Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, just if you could help us understand what is the price increase that we have taken for the transformers, both in all kinds of categories that you do, if you can share a broad figure for that.
The price increase in the new orders for the because of the commodity rise?
Yes. Yes, yes.
So it is varying because the aluminium has increased at a different pace, copper has increased at a different pace, the quantity volume of aluminium copper in a aluminium wound transformer or a copper wound transformer is different. So, and since we do both types of transformers, we do aluminium wound also, we do copper wound also. And then the oil quantities also vary, like an aluminium wound will have more oil because it is a larger transformer as compared to a copper wound. So, it is difficult to come to a figure, and right now, as I said, we've just started securing orders in the last 4 to 6 weeks. Those ranges are anywhere in the range from 5% to some are even going up to 15% or 18% as well. So it is quite difficult to come to a figure right now. I think once we complete this quarter or another month or so after that, we will have some clarity as to what we are able to achieve in that.
Got it. I think this is helpful, sir. And I understand the dynamics. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference back to Mr. Shivam Talwar for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Well, thank you, everyone, once again. Thank you for joining the call. Thank you for keeping trust in us. As I mentioned, as a company, we are committed to sustainable and good work with all possible transparency. So, going forward, with all your best wishes, we look forward for a good FY27 for Danish Power as well. Thank you once again.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Danish Power Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.